the Tuesday edition, but because they're playing on Thursday, does that make this a Friday in the NFL week for the Green Bay Packers? Whatever it is, it's a quick turnaround edition. If it's a Friday, then that would explain why Rob Domofsky is joining us at 9:30, scheduled to appear edition. And also scheduled to appear, do we have some sort of like royalty music for this now when he joins us, Jesse? The Pro Football Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas, also scheduled to appear edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitch, maybe not the last two. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. I saw Boomer Esiason and Chad Johnson have now joined you as being a Ring of Honor member. They went into the Bengals Ring of Honor last night. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Is Ryan Fitzpatrick a well-known face?
With the big beard and stuff?
Like, is he... Because I don't remember, we were watching the game Sunday, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was on back-to-back commercials. And I'm wondering why. National commercials. This isn't local, you know, Buffalo. He's been everywhere. Ryan Fitzpatrick, why is he on all these commercials?
Well, he does the Amazon Prime pregame show.
Okay. I wasn't watching Amazon Prime, though.
No, but like that'd be like saying
might be watching this week.
Terry Bradshaw is on everywhere. Well, he's on a pregame show that recognizable.
Wow. Good point,
Jesse.
Terry
Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowl rings. You comparing Bradshaw to Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, he won those Super Bowl rings in the, as Homer would say, in the Old Testament, though. Like the young people don't know Terry Bradshaw, quarterback. They know him as, you know, buffoonery on that. Didn't he have a reality show with his daughters
several,
and stuff?
He's had several shows. Howie Long was doing Skechers commercials.
And the guy who's struggling now on the pregame show.
He needs to retire. He should have retired 2 years ago. We're going to retire players. It's time to retire media people.
I agree. I don't love the fact that we get after older folks that are still trying to do the job. He is definitely struggling.
No, it's time for him to retire. Yeah, it's okay.
But people
you
are crushing him.
You can't do a job. No, you can't do a job where you're telling people they're too old to play, and then you doing the job and you're too old to do your job. So for some
totally
reason,
fair.
Media folks, it's always you can't critique them. I'm critiquing Bradshaw. It's time to go. But the idea on recognizable faces. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick a recognizable face?
He's in the process of becoming a recognizable face. Yes.
He is.
The process.
All right. I guess I'm wrong. I just was thinking, has any journeyman quarterback ever cashed in as well as Fitzpatrick?
Dan Orlovsky's doing okay right now.
Orlovsky's
good point.
It's a better story than Fitzpatrick.
That's a good point. I mean, and to be fair, I have not listened to Ryan Fitzpatrick's, analysis. Orlovsky's awesome at his job. He's awesome at his job, regardless what Jason feels. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know, but I just am amazed. Like, legitimately, in the Packer game the other day, we were sitting there, and one of the moms that we were watching the game with, she's like, he's got a really recognizable face. And I said, you don't even have a clue who he is. And she didn't, of course. But it was just funny to me that I put that down on my notes, and I thought, I'm amazed. Like, Tony Romo is the quarterback of the Cowboys. You didn't even know what team would you say Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback for.
Yeah, it's hard because he played for so many. Yeah. Are you difficult for these parents to hang out with?
Why?
Well, you do seem to push back a lot on folks.
No, there was no pushback. I was inquiring.
You can't disgust me. And then you proceeded to get after your dinner mate about all the ways they could be disgusted.
As now, you know,
he's got a recognizable
I try
face.
And bring...
Since when do you take notes?
He's keeping receipts.
What are you talking about, take notes?
You just said you had it in your notes.
It's a good point, too.
Yeah, I put things down that I bring up on the show when I find them interesting. I wish you two did that. But anyways, that's the case where this is something that I was shocked by. I was very surprised. I get why, because he does the Amazon. I don't know. I was dumbfounded. I was dumbfounded that he was on that many commercials. I'm not trying to be a hater by any stretch. He had a great, I mean, he had a long, prosperous NFL career. Like Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, I get. I even get Tony Romo. I don't get this. Orlovsky's not out there shilling a bunch of stuff. He's not. He's working. He's on air.
I know Fitzpatrick is in like a pizza commercial where he's playing a reporter alongside George Kittle.
He was on back-to-back commercials. One of them was that pizza commercial. And so maybe it's just a couple. I just was surprised by it. I think he has probably marketed himself as well as any journeyman backup I've ever seen. Because Orlovsky's not marketing himself that way. He just does the job. It's impressive.
Thank you for your service. So when do you cross over into recognizable face, either on a national or a local scale? Like, I would argue that the two most recognizable retired Packers in our state are you and Leroy Butler.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Who, I love you guys.
I don't know.
Who else is around?
I don't know.
Who else is marketable like you guys are?
There's a lot of guys do. Gilbert Brown does a lot of stuff. There's a lot of players that do a lot of stuff. So that's not the point. What I'm trying to get to is where is that line? And I guess I just was surprised, and you guys don't seem surprised that Ryan Fitzpatrick has become a national figure. I thought it was surprising. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. Well, when you bring things up that I don't know are coming, it takes me a while to try and get into a rhythm on what those might be. Mm-hmm. And when I bring you and Leroy up, my point was going to be, if you bring out Tim Mastay to sell a product, are people going to recognize him or not? Because I saw him on the scoreboard.
I don't know.
It was great to see Tim. I love Tim. I like Tim a lot. But I don't know if I would recognize him if he was in a commercial for a local car dealership. So how do you become more recognizable? To me, you probably got to do more stuff.
You got to do stuff.
And that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing.
Listen, I give Ryan Fitzpatrick a ton of credit. I'm just curious on the choices that these national brands
topic.
Are making.
That's I'm intrigued by it. I'm also curious.
Yeah, I don't,
does he have to keep the beard now? Like, is he married to the beard forever?
I am convinced that when he did his deal, I don't even remember what team he played for, and he came out in like the sweatsuit with all the gold chains and all the chest hair flowing through.
Uh-huh.
I'm convinced that's what got him into the Amazon gig and got him into all this other stuff. So, yeah, it's a great question, Jason. I don't know. Obviously, you need to be out there doing stuff. You can't sit in your bunker and expect things to just fall into your lap. He's out there. I respect it. I have no shirt. Richard Sherman does it. There's a lot of players, but Richard Sherman was a star player. These jobs are typically star players. Yeah. And then the local stuff are more of the grinders. That's where, I guess, the differentiation would be.
How many teams?
Nate Burleson was the third or fourth best receiver on two different teams. And now he's doing pregame shows and the CBS Morning News and, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but he's really talented. He's not doing it, so he's gotten all this, too.
And now you're taking out Fitzpatrick again.
Fitzpatrick, I don't mean to take him out.
He's got his beard.
Is he as good as, an Orlovsky and Nate Burleson? I don't know.
No,
I have
no idea.
I don't. No, I don't. I that's why I'm asking the question.
What did Howie Long ever do?
You guys are Johnny Amazonians. You guys watch all these Amazon games. I don't. I'm just curious. We're going to see him on Thursday. He's going to be part of the pregame, I'm guessing, right? Because the game's on Amazon.
Jesse, let's see if we can get him on the show.
Hope he wasn't listening.
What the hell have you ever done?
Well, I wasn't was that denigrating him? That wasn't denigrating him. It's just I was shocked.
You said Nate Burleson is talented. As if
he
Ryan
is.
Fitzpatrick's not.
That sure implied that one person is talented and the other is not.
Oh. Well, I didn't mean it that way. If that's how it came across, that's not how I meant it. But it is. That is the way it goes. I guess I just was shocked to see back-to-back Ryan Fitzpatrick commercials on national TV. That's all I was saying. And it was, I was being like, oh, of course he should be. And I just wanted to know, am I insane for asking that? I am not. I know I'm not. But I believe the people that I was watching the game with felt that way, even though they didn't even know who the hell he was. So.
He played 17 NFL seasons.
Heck of a career.
Would you like to guess how many different teams employed him, in which he played at least one snap for them?
11. I'm going to guess 11.
You're a smidge high, but not off by much. I've got him for Buffalo, Cincinnati, Miami, the Jets, the St. Louis Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, and the Washington, whatever they were at the time of his tenure. So
nine
teams.
Okay. And maybe part of the plan for these products and these companies were, man, he's got all these markets that he was the starting quarterback in.
Perhaps.
I hadn't looked at it that way. That could be part of it, too.
Harvard guy. Yeah, Harvard guy. Majored in economics. So he's got a plan, I am sure, for his post-career and his various
So you guys aren't
gigs.
Surprised that he's doing all these commercials. Like, that doesn't surprise you.
No, I actually agree with you. I was surprised. We never really got to that because we were busy besmirching his talent.
He's
level.
Got the look.
I wasn't besmirching.
He's got the look. He's got some credibility. He's a smart guy. And he's got the Fitzmagic brand, which I know the one thing is like, oh, the Fitzmagic in the commercial that he does. It's
okay.
Makes sense.
Hey,
but he's not
I
as talented as Nate Burleson.
He's definitely not close.
He's not talented. Nate Burleson and Strahan are like the two, you could make an argument, the two greatest player
crossover.
Turn broadcasters of all time.
Yep, I agree.
I'm not even letting Fitzpatrick do the weather in Beaver Dam on the morning news, let alone CBS National.
That's not besmirching somebody. There's tears to everything, guys. Yeah, there is.
The way your remark was structured about Nate Burleson definitely implied that he's talented and Fitzpatrick is not. I'm not saying that you believe that. I'm just saying that that is how
I don't
the remark
know.
Was presented.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But Nate
Burleson, really
I know,
funny.
Nate Burleson was great on Good Morning Football, and obviously the executives at CBS felt like he's a stud. Let's get him into the fold, just like ABC felt that way with Strahan.
Yep.
They both have had remarkable career arcs. And to be honest, so is Ryan Fitzpatrick. It just shocks me that he has. That's all. It's not besmirching anything. It's just how I feel.
Jesse Palmer hosts The Bachelor.
He went on The Bachelor.
Yeah, and he got a lot of gigs out of that because it was not out of his NFL career either, right? He barely did anything in the NFL.
Well, Jesse Palmer is not carrying Ryan Fitzpatrick's jock when it comes to who played. You know, who was a better quarterback. Like, come on. Now, Fitzpatrick deserves a ton of credit, 17 years. But I just haven't seen a ton of journeymen have national ad spots. It just doesn't happen. But it has for him.
Somewhere
and kudos
Matt
to him
Flynn
and his
is
team.
Very bitter. Right?
Oh,
Matt
Flynn's
Flynn?
Not its journeyman like Fitzpatrick, though.
Not to the degree. He played for... No, I
don't
think
know
he,
if anybody is.
Yeah, no, he is the GOAT of journeyman quarterbacks who played in multiple places, right?
Okay.
Maybe him and Testaverde, but Testaverde started more games.
No, but... Yeah, I would say Fitzpatrick just because of the... I mean, it was literally every team and every division he was on for at some point. All right, kudos to Fitzy, man. I'm looking forward to his coverage of the Lions-Packers game on Thursday night and the 16 commercials that he's in that'll be running with it.
Scheduled to appear Thursday at 10:30.
I'd love
Jesse,
it.
Jesse, seriously, you got to get on this. Can you make this happen?
I would hope he would.
We've got a direct line to CBS. I could get Burleson probably. He's more talented. I don't know about Fitzpatrick.
I get Burleson. I'd love to have Burleson on, too. He's a former Lion. It'd be great. Looking forward. What time, Jesse? 10:30 on Thursday?
Right after we get Aikman.
He's got to do the news, so we'll see what he can do.
Tausch, you better watch out, because Fitzpatrick may be coming for your gig talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin at the rate he's going.
Yeah, he probably will, and you know what? It's time to replace old drafty linemen with old drafty quarterbacks. No. It's time to replace your old drafty windows, not during the dead of winter. Right now, Pella has a great deal going on. Pay as low as $19 a month per window, $75 a month on patio doors. The installation is completed with no mess and no hassle, and it leaves nothing behind but perfect results. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. 6.99% APR financing for 120 months. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details. This offer ends. Boy, getting close. What, 4 days left? Something like that? 4 or 5 days? 4 days. 30th. 4 days.
Yeah, I'm going to really miss that. A quick turnaround for the Packers with Thursday Night Football, where you can watch on Amazon Prime and see Ryan Fitzpatrick and how talented he may or may not be. We'll talk about that quick turnaround for the Packers and get ready to talk to Rob Domofsky, another talented guy, coming up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Taking on the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Now, again, if you live in Green Bay or you live in Milwaukee and you get Milwaukee TV stations or Green Bay TV stations, it gets broadcast locally, so you don't have to have Amazon Prime. If you live in Madison or anywhere else in the state that doesn't get those two TV markets, you can't watch the game without Amazon Prime. I guess you could get NFL Plus.
Did you notice Phoenix Suns are handing out TV antennas? You think there's going to be a move to go back to that?
So I was listening. I'm glad you brought this up. Yeah, I love that you brought this up, because I'm driving back from ballet practice last night with Maddie, and I listened to Monday Night Football on the drive. And there are commercials throughout the broadcast. They're calling like the free TV movement or something like that. Now, it's brought to you by Scripps, EW Scripps, which owns a lot of local TV stations. I think they have a reason for this. But basically, it's promoting how all you need is an antenna to get all your local programming and all the local games. And to your point about Phoenix, that is a factor of obviously all these regional television sports networks going bankrupt, that there's a struggle there. And what is his name? Abisha? Matt Abisha?
I don't know.
The owner is moving it to local TV. And I would think the ad revenue opportunities there are probably pretty good, but you're not getting much from the rights holding opportunity. So, look, you have been bemoaning the fact that we get hosed on cable, but we also get hosed on all these different streaming services that then we still have to pay for movies. You would like to think that every movie would be available somewhere on the streaming services you already pay for. I love the idea of going back to regular old over-the-air TV. I do not want to.
It's not going to happen.
I don't want to be attaching tinfoil to my antenna in my living room on my big furniture-style TV that my parents had, that it looked like a end table with a TV inside of it. But I kind of like the idea. That and the flip phone.
Okay.
anyway, the point is that if you're in Madison, Jesse, what are you going to do to watch the game? Do you have Amazon Prime?
We do have Amazon Prime, but we're going to the game. So that's one way to get around it.
Oh, well, you're... Oh, nice. Yeah, that's huge. It's a late night.
Sure is. Yeah.
Do you think you'll be sleeping in the third quarter or the fourth?
That's rude.
But fair.
Depends if they keep it close or not. Depends if Aaron Jones is playing, am I right?
We will see that. That is one of the many questions that we will delve into with Rob Domofsky coming up next. But I did want to play Rob and I asking a series of questions about Rashawn Gary to Joe Barry yesterday. As Joe Barry...
That's a lot of Aries. A lot of Aries.
Joe Barry is very airy in his commentary. Here is the back-to-back question.
Gary's pretty scary, though.
Mary. You're pretty good today. Here's the discussion with Joe Barry.
Joe, Rashawn, I think, has played like 57, 58 total snaps in three games.
Yeah.
If he can do what he's done in those small sample size, what could he do if he plays 57 in a game?
Sure. You know, he's doing great, you know, and we absolutely knew when the season started that he was going to be on a pitch count, and Flea and his staff do a great job with that, and you know, he'll continue with that. We'll as you know, when we come in tomorrow and see where everyone's at. I haven't even seen Flea yet today. So, but Rashawn's doing a great job. He'll continue to get a little bit more and more every week. But yeah, he's and as I mentioned even last week, you know, you guys know Rashawn. He wants to be out there every single play. So, but he's definitely taking advantage of his at bats. There's no doubt about it, and he's doing a great job.
Does it make it easier though? Not only is he playing well in that limited sample size, but you do have guys that you trust eating up some of those other snaps. How much easier does that make it to not have such a field tilter on the field as
possible? Absolutely, it's. You know, it's at every position. It's a collective group, but definitely when you're talking about the guys up front, you know, because that's obviously the two positions on defense that you rotate the most, whether it's the inside front guys or the outside. But it's great, you know, when Rashawn is on a snap count, you know, you got guys like Preston Smith, and you know, now we got young guys like, you know, I still consider, you know, JJ's still a very young guy. You know, you got Van Ness, you got Justin Hollins. So it's great when Rashawn can't be out there as much as we want him to, that you got especially three young guys in 55, 90, and 47 that are stepping up, doing a great job.
Tausch, there have been places on this roster where I've questioned their depth. You have been on Lucas Van Ness from the very beginning. As the first round pick, 13th overall. But it is true that what has allowed them to have Rashawn Gary on a pitch count is that it's not like they're trotting guys out there that don't have enough to be effective. Like JJ is a pretty darn good player for a fifth round pick who's in his second year, third year. Like, they really like him. They spent the high pick on Van Ness, but Justin Hollins has been pretty darn good for him too, for a guy they picked up off of waivers at Thanksgiving last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think we always want to have our star players out there as much as you can, and for defensive linemen, there is that making sure there's fresh and you get a series off here or there, but closing time. And when you need big plays, third and six, you know, these third down where you have to get off the field, the efficiency in which Rashawn Gary has been, you just mentioned the stats, 50-some snaps, and he's 30% on a win ratio of getting to the quarterback is insane. That is a crazy high number. And the thing about it is I think you're going to continue to see him get better and fresher as the season goes on. So it's nice that you have these other guys, but I promise you, opposing offensive coordinators, they're very happy when 52 is off the field. And even though we like Hollins and you can like Enigbare or however you want to pronounce his name today, you want 52 out there. As a Packer fan, you're hoping he gets back to playing 50, 60 snaps a game, because then that impact, even though his win ratio will probably go down, his opportunities to make game-changing plays will get up there. And you said field tilter. He's been that way for a while. Now that he's getting back out there, it only has gotten better. So I think as he gets stronger, his strength, what he's been able to learn, countering different ideas on what tackles are trying to do to him, moving him around a little bit, he's going to be in that pantheon, and he's going to be paid like it too, I believe, with the Bosas and with all of these dominant pass rushers, because you don't see these stats from average players. You see these stats that he's talking about from big-time elite pass rushers.
Last thing so we can get to Rob. How much longer, because Joe Barry says in that answer that he's going to continue to be on a pitch count. You've come back from two ACLs. How much longer do you think he has to be or will be on a pitch count when you know how much he tilts the field and you'd like to have him out there more?
Well, I think if you have, and one of the things I love about Van Ness is he's so strong and he can set an edge. Preston Smith is long. I don't mind if you keep his snap count. You let him get out there and play 45 or 50 snaps. I don't mind if Rashawn Gary's not out there on first down. Now, if it gets to be second and 10, if it's first and 10 and you're playing a running team, I don't mind letting him kind of ease his way into it. Now, I would say by Thanksgiving, I want him out there full tilt. But Belichick used to always say, and I think most coaches that have really good football teams will say, well, the season really gets started on Thanksgiving. That's when you become the team that you're going to be. Right now, you're still guiding yourself through it. You're trying to figure things out, who you are, what your identity is going to be. So I don't want Rashawn Gary playing 85 or 90% of the snaps. I'd like to see him at 50, 55, ramp it up, and then by end of the season playing at that 80, 85%. So to me, Thanksgiving is the line of demarcation. That's where I want to start seeing the full 52, put cheese on everything effect.
He may be on a pitch count or a snap count. You are not on a Coors Light count. I mean, you drink responsibly,
I am not, and that's
of
because
course.
But. Of course, and that's because it's only 102 calories. It's refreshing, it's crisp, and I make sure the mountains are blue. And I can't wait. Jesse, I know you got the game Thursday, but then the big watch party. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh,
you taking
gosh.
A bunch of Coors Lights to the watch party. Oh, baby, and they'll be cold activated. You know the mountains will be baby blue for Jesse's watch party. That's why it's Coors Light what he chooses. That's why Jim's going to choose it down in Saukville when these boys get together for the most fun watch party you can imagine. And they'll celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I feel like you need to clarify for anyone who missed yesterday that the watch party would be Friday for Sunday's game. Against the Saints.
Yeah, you can find all of that interesting discussion with Jim in Saukville on the Wisconsin On Demand app or WisconsinOnDemand.com. Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air.
This doesn't sound like the kind of walk-up music that Rob Domofsky would request.
What do you think he'd want?
I think he would want Frank Turner or Bruce Springsteen. Let's find out. You can read him on ESPN.com. You see him on Get Up and SportsCenter. If you go on a tour of Lambeau Field, they always point out his office when you get to the media area. You see him with me on WBAY's Cover 2 every Sunday night. But more importantly, you hear him across ESPN Wisconsin now as he has joined us and our team. It is our buddy Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning. Would you like to make a musical request of Jesse?
You know what? I mean, you got the two bass lines, Bruce Springsteen and Frank Turner, but there's so many iterations and offshoots from those. So Gaslight Anthem, Airborne Toxic Event. I mean, we can go on and on, but no one really cares about my music.
We do care about your musical choices, and those were my next two on my list. So we'll just surprise you every week. Airborne Toxic Events. That one's one of my favorites as well.
Just be careful with Frank Turner. There's some are not FCC friendly.
Well, sometimes neither are you, from my experience in our longtime friendship. I was cheating and I was looking at the power rankings, and I know you write a comment every time that you guys do your power rankings. But when you look at this team, and I saw our buddy Dan Graziano was at the game, who takes more of a national perspective with the work that he does. How, as you interact with your ESPN colleagues, how are the Packers being viewed?
I think they're being viewed a lot like we do, in that there's just the curiosity. The curiosity factor that is right here is also nationally. The other thing that, from a national perspective, I just got off the phone with Stefania Bell, who's our injury person, and she's just can't figure out what's going on with the hamstrings and why Christian Watson and Aaron Jones aren't back. And it's the same stuff we're trying to figure out, right? Like, I will say this, from a national perspective, I haven't been on TV as much lately, but I will be on TV today and Thursday. But, as these guys start winning more, I think they'll get a higher profile nationally.
What are you going to be on today about? What are the powers that be at Bristol excited about talking to you about today?
Well, first of all, it's a Thursday night game, so typically, we try, even though it's not on our network, it's the standalone game, so typically our shows make a big deal about that. I will say this, though, had they lost on Sunday, I was told I would not be needed on TV today, so you make that of what you want.
They've got Ryan Fitzpatrick instead, Tausch. Booked him.
So,
he's got better beard. Yeah.
All right, Rob, so when you look at this, I'm convinced that win in the fourth quarter, the way they did, is a springboard when you're talking about a young team. And I don't remember if you said they are going to be a playoff team. I thought if they got off to this kind of start, they would, if they beat the Bears and that confidence. Where are you at with your view of this team after what we saw, especially in the fourth quarter on Sunday?
Tausch, here's why I think that game was hugely important. It took 1-3 out of the equation, right? Because if they had lost that game, and then obviously this game is going to be a lot tougher if they lose that. I mean, you just took a massive hole out of the equation. At worst, they're 2-2 with games that are winnable. Vegas, I watched them the other night.
Ugh,
they stink, right? And then what is it after that? I don't have the schedule in front of me. What is it after that? It's the bye. I know that.
Denver's in there sometime in October.
That's right. It's Denver right after that. They stink. So you got a real chance to be, 5-1, 4-2? But had you started that 1-3 hole, things would have looked a lot different going into this game. So I think they're in a really good spot, win or lose, on Thursday.
All right. So we were discussing this yesterday, and you talked to Stefania Bell, the ESPN injury analyst. Aaron Jones is the guy that I think, if you had to pick one, Aaron Jones is the guy we need the most. And what are you hearing about availability, or are you just as lost as we are about that?
Well, I talked to one person in the organization even before the game on Sunday who thought if they had Aaron Jones, they win the game in Atlanta. Like, that's how much because what happened in the fourth quarter, where you can't get a first down, probably doesn't happen if you have Aaron Jones. So that's the belief within the organization. So that tells you who they think is more critical to having versus Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, right? I also think, Christian Watson's obviously very important because he can do things that nobody else can do, but right now they can't hit the deep ball anyway, so I'm not sure how valuable that is. I thought two things were a good sign, Tausch. One, on Sunday before the game, guys go through pregame workouts, and sometimes you're not sure what to make of them because you're not sure if they're going to play or not. Well, we knew that Aaron Jones wasn't going to play, pretty much knew he wasn't going to play. But when we watched him work out on the field before, he was running hard. I mean, like full speed, 100%, super hard. So that told me, A, that he wasn't going to play, because you wouldn't go that hard if you were going to play that day. But B, that he's able to go that hard, so he must be really, really close. Whereas Christian Watson was out on the field and did some stretching, but really that was about it.
That also makes me wonder if Christian Watson did in fact have some sort of a setback that we haven't been told about.
Yep.
Because yesterday when they sent out their approximation of the injury report, it said that he would not have practiced. And he practiced Wednesday. They said it was a scheduled off day Thursday, and then he practiced on Friday. To me...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tausch.
Yeah, Jason, because if they knew when he did something early, they would not have pupped him. They'd have put him on IR if he was going to miss... If they knew he was going to miss 4 weeks with all of the roster jostling that you had...
Correct.
You would have just said, you know what, short-term IR and get him back. So obviously I think that leads credence to your thought process on that too.
Yeah, the S-word had to have happened, right? Because exactly, they would have, if they knew he was going to miss four games right away, you slap him on IR, you got a roster spot for somebody else for 4 weeks, and then you bring him back. So clearly something did not go according to plan.
Rob, we spent some time yesterday with the coordinators and Adam Stenovich, and I don't know how far down the depth chart they can go on the offensive line, but we know Elgton Jenkins is going to play. God only knows when David Bakhtiari is and is not going to play, right? I would like to think that him not playing on Sunday on grass would indicate that they were saving him for Thursday, but I don't know that, and neither do you, right? But now Zach Tom suffers a knee injury late in that game. We're talking 60% of the offensive line. I guess it would be Rashid Walker, Royce Newman, Josh Myers, John Runyon, and Yash.
Correct, Yash Nyman. So at least you got a guy, though, Jason, that's played probably close to 800 snaps or maybe even more than that in Yash's career. This sounds crazy, but I think you'd be okay without those three. I mean, I know it's crazy. You lose three of them, but I think they'd be okay. One more, though, and now you're playing Sean Ryan, who's basically never played in the NFL, or who else? Caleb Jones, who's never played. He's a tackle. What happens at center? Because Zach Tom was basically, or Elton were your backup centers too. So as crazy as it sounds, I think they're okay. Even if Zach Tom, Elton Jenkins, and David Bakhtiari don't play, I think it's really bad though.
That does sound crazy, by the way.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Completely crazy.
Yeah, you're right. But they raved about their depth on the offensive line all summer. They didn't add anybody.
Yep,
right? They didn't draft anyone, and they didn't keep any undrafted rookies on the offensive line, which told you what they thought of their depth.
Have you guys noticed after Stenovich made those comments to Wilde's question and then was more than likely reprimanded for saying it, has he toned it down a little bit? Yeah. No, I know he was.
A little bit, but I still think that that he's been pretty good. Yesterday I thought he was good. He was talking about I asked him about the young guys and what it's like to coach those guys, and he brought up the fact that, you know, they don't have scars. I think Jason followed up on that, talking about how these guys don't know what they don't know. I think Steno has been good, and I can tell you for 100% certainty, Tausch, that not only was he scolded, but Matt LaFleur stood in front of his entire coaching staff and said, watch what you say to the media.
I couldn't believe, and I know you guys are the best in the business, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't believe he said what he said to you guys. That when Steno did that, I was like, that is not going to go over well.
No, well, clearly two things probably happened. One, they were frustrated with Yash, and they thought he would have played better or put in more effort. And two, maybe he had something that was bothering him, and he just decided that, you know, he was just angry that day, and he was going to take angry Steno to the podium. Hey, I've been a little angry sometimes on this show and have said things that I regret.
We're still going to have a best of show where you tell all your stories about being held up at gunpoint and selling a car to a blind man and all the other greatest hits.
Well, I told Jason, I told the mayor, giving the mayor the finger story on the Sunday pregame show, because you got a guy on the station who calls himself the mayor, right? Like on the pregame show. So I'm like, the mayor? I once gave a mayor the finger.
You could check out Rob's new album, All My Best Stories, which will be dropping on Spotify right along with Frank Turner's new music. Rob, before you go, I know you're working on a story on Rashawn Gary. You had the good question yesterday about if he's been able to do what he's done in 57 snaps across three games. Don't you wonder what he could do with 57 snaps in one game? When you look at how they've handled him and the productivity they've gotten from him, I was racking my brain to think of someone who has been brought back on a limited basis and still had such a colossal impact during our time covering the team, and I can't think of anybody.
No, not necessarily from an injury, Jason, but there have been older veteran players they tried to save. Julius Peppers comes to mind, right, where they weren't going to overwork him and had some pretty darn high production, in those couple of seasons, to the point where, honestly, what was it, in 2015, they didn't bring him back, or what? Maybe it was later than that.
16. Yeah, he played in 16.
And I mean, because he was still productive on a limited basis, but not from like a return to play standpoint, but just from a veteran guy who they wanted to put on a limited count and still was massively productive in those snaps. Peppers is the only guy that I could think of.
Rob, is Rashawn Gary going to get a new contract before the year's out? The calendar year.
I do think so, Tausch. The thing is, though, Gary and his people, Ian Clark is his agent, they might be sitting here saying, you know what? They didn't want to do it before the ACL was, completely healed. A situation you were in, obviously, Tausch, but they didn't want to do it before they saw him back on the field. Well, now, from Gary's standpoint, I'm back on the field. I've got 3.5 sacks in three games. Let's roll the dice and make him pay a little bit more. Maybe let's wait two or three more weeks and see if I – because last year he was at 6 sacks through 6 games.
Right.
Massively productive. So the price is only going to go up. It's obviously a game of risk for the player. Because it's the bird in the hand thing, right? Do you take what you can get now, or do you roll the dice and get more a little later? I would bet, just a guess, but I would bet by late October, early November, they have a deal done. That was the window with Bakhtiari, I believe. It was a early November contract extension in 2020. But if it does not get done then I think maybe we're sitting there going, okay, this is a potential franchise tag issue in the offseason or whatever the case may be.
Rob, Jordan Love as well, or do you think they're going to wait on Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, they already sort of did the kind of half extension, right, with him. Mm-hmm. I got to look at the cap number and see if it actually benefits them any more to do it now or just wait till next year at some point.
Rob, we appreciate you. You look great in your study. The ceiling fan is circulating the air perfectly for you.
Yeah, it's making me dizzy looking at the fan. I'm going to have to turn that off next time. But I didn't want to get up off the quote-unquote set here.
Walls are still the same color, though. That was in question last week.
You never know from week to week. All right, I'll see you at Lambeau. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
That is the fantastic Rob Domofsky. He joins us once a week. He joins all our shows once a week here across ESPN Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit about what Rob had to say next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Person in the organization. organization even before the game on Sunday who thought if they had Aaron Jones, they win the game in Atlanta. Because what happened in the fourth quarter, you know, where you can't get a first down, probably doesn't happen if you have Aaron Jones. That's the belief within the organization. So that tells you who they think is more critical to having versus Christian Watson, Aaron Jones.
That's Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, who joins us once a week, joining us a little early with the early in the week game on Thursday night against Detroit. Tausch, I want to get to start the 10 o'clock hour, what he said about maybe Rashawn Gary rolling the dice. That really was very interesting, and I hadn't thought in those terms, probably because I'm not risk-taking. And that would obviously mean he would be taking on some risk by playing out the season like Devontae Adams did and like a few others of your former teammates did. But we'll get to that. The other part that he said, though, and I agree with him in their belief in their depth on the offensive line. And it does sound crazy that they could be missing three out of their five starters and you still feel okay about them.
Yeah.
But Aiden Hutchinson is a game-wrecking player, much like Rashawn Gary is for the Packers, and I don't necessarily want both backup tackles facing him. Also, this defense went up against the same run game that racked up 211 yards for Atlanta against the Packers defense and allowed 44 yards. So this is a pretty physical, impressive front seven for them. We're going to find out if none of those guys can play, if this line is up to the task, missing 60% of its starters.
Yeah, I really think Aaron Jones is going to be a huge difference maker. He always is, but there's certain games that it really matters. And I think for Green Bay to be in the position they're in, this is one of those swing games, I think, that can really swing your season one way or the other. You're playing the team that everybody thinks is the best in your division. Some people think could be one of the best teams in the conference. I don't, but there's some people that do. And they are salty. Dan Campbell has built a physical, tough football team. We saw that last year when they didn't have anything to play for and they outplayed a team that could have made the playoffs. They now have everything to play for. So there's a lot of stuff going on. The Lions are also looking at this saying, we want to put our print on this division, and we have to do it at Lambeau. We've had some success. Let's continue to build it. So, but it is crazy to say, and this just goes to Brian Gutekunst's mindset on how he's building a football team. He kept 11 linemen. I know Tenuto's ended up being on IR. That tells you your priorities. You can say all the right things, but how you put your roster together and prioritize. If you look around the league, the teams that are having great success, yes, quarterback is critical. Never going to get me to move off of that. But the teams that are sturdy and strong on both sides of the line of scrimmage are the teams that have staying power and last. San Francisco, Philadelphia. You know, Dallas has, obviously they missed two or three starters. They couldn't overcome it against a bad Arizona team. Green Bay, so far, has been able to withstand missing a couple of guys because of the prioritization that Brian Gutekunst and his staff have made to say, we are going to keep big bodies that can move. That's what he's done, and I would say, even though Atlanta gashed us, I would say that our fronts are the strength of these football teams.
Do you think that is a lesson he learned on the offensive line? Because, look, I one of the things that I give people the most credit for is acknowledging that they may have made mistakes and changing their behavior. His first two drafts, the only offensive lineman he took was Elgton Jenkins. And then he took 3 and 20, 3 and 21, I think 2 and 22. I mean, he has drafted a lot on that offensive line after not doing it the first 2 years that he had the draft. And to me, that says that he recognized that that was important.
And I think I also give him credit because he brought in a Rick Wagner. He brought in some veteran guys to kind of help. But he understands, and I think this is the thing that other teams are going to start looking at when Green Bay, if they continue to have the success they have with these guys missing, people say, okay, he has a certain type of player he looks for. It's that relative athletic score. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. They can play left tackle. That's been a trait. And then we will cross-train these guys so they can play multiple spots because of the limitations you have on game day with your how many O-linemen you can draft. But there's no doubt, I think he has noticed, and everybody else is too, you can have a stopgap guy for a year. You can play a little bit. But if you can develop and get young players that will learn your system and you stay patient with them, don't let a couple of bad games here or there dictate that the kid can't play. And I know everybody's been trying to run Royce Newman out of the building. And there's still calls. Put Sean Ryan in there. Royce had three or four pressures he gave up. I understand all that. But there's a value in someone being in your system, understanding it, being young enough, and still go out and playing. That's what Goody has seen, and that's why he's keeping 9, 10, 11 guys, and it's paid good dividends for him so far.
Yeah, and I should correct, they did draft Cole Madison in 2018. He ended up never playing for them, however. Taush, big guys up front, very valuable. Big guys can also make some good money with some of the Fortrea studies that they've got going on right now.
Yeah, and you need that cash if you want to buy Amazon Prime or if you want to get Peacock when the Badgers are playing. You want to get all this. You want to go out to Vegas for the big trip coming out in a Monday night or two. Well, you need a little extra cash, and Fortrea Clinical Trials is the place to go. Right now they have a couple of studies going on. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60 with a BMI of 18 to 32. That study involves two stays of 15, totaling 15 nights, and you can grab yourself almost $14,000 for your time and participation, plus $300 per qualified participant. Another trial, 18 to 55, body mass index of 18.5. So you got to be a little heavier than the first one to 32. That study involves one stay of 9 nights with one follow-up. You can grab a quick $4K for your time. Again, go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
The 10 o'clock hour begins late in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Taush.